Noah and Nicholas's love story burns with an intensity that both illuminates and consumes. As Noah turns 18, university life beckons with promises of independence and growth. But beneath her composed exterior lies a soul scarred by childhood trauma, physical reminders etched into her skin from the night her father's bullet found her. These wounds manifest in visceral nightmares and a paralyzing fear of darkness that only Nicholas's presence seems to soothe. Their relationship forms a perfect storm of need. Her trauma-induced vulnerability intertwines with his abandonment issues, creating something that functions simultaneously as haven and cage. Persons who suffered abuse as children often need their partners to control them when they grow up, Noah's therapist explains, illuminating the psychological mechanics driving their attachment. This codependency offers immediate comfort. Noah finds safety in Nicholas's protective nature, while his fear of loss is temporarily soothed by her dependence. But what if this mutual reliance actually impedes their healing? What happens when protection morphs into possession, when love becomes another form of control?
When I want something, I simply get it. I don't care who I have to run over. Nicholas's words reveal the tension Noah faces as she begins university. Her mother forces an impossible choice, Nicholas or education, while new influences pull Noah from Nicholas's orbit. Friendships with Charlie and her therapist Michael offer glimpses of relationships built on mutual respect rather than consuming passion. With Michael, I've found a bubble where I can simply be Noah, she reflects, contrasting this with the intensity she feels with Nicholas. Meanwhile, Nicholas grows threatened by these connections. When he discovers she's living in university housing instead of with him, he arranges better accommodations, a gesture both loving and controlling. This struggle captures that moment when growing up means growing apart from those we love. How much should you compromise for love? When does compromise become unhealthy sacrifice? These questions haunt Noah as she tries to build an identity separate from her relationship without losing someone who feels essential to her survival.
You are mine. Your body is my body, and no one will ever touch it. Nicholas's possessiveness extends beyond physical intimacy to encompass Noah's entire existence. His jealousy manifests in troubling ways, punishing her for getting drunk at parties, constantly tracking her whereabouts, even locking her in his room for her protection when other men show interest. What complicates this dynamic is Noah's response. She often welcomes his possessiveness, finding his jealousy flattering and his protectiveness comforting. Their intimacy is framed as ownership rather than partnership, with Noah frequently finding satisfaction in submission. Yet small acts of resistance emerge, a missed call she doesn't apologize for, a party she attends despite his objections. "I'm not your toy," she finally shouts during one confrontation. This moment marks a crucial turning point in her journey toward self-awareness. Haven't we all questioned whether what we've called love might actually be something else? The intoxication of being completely desired can blind us to the suffocation of being possessed until, suddenly, we can't breathe. The revelation hits like a thunderbolt. Noah's mother had an affair with William Leister Nicholas's father while still married to Noah's abusive father. This connection transforms our understanding of both families and explains the tension surrounding the young couple's relationship. The affair occurred during Noah's darkest childhood abuse, making her mother's choices especially devastating. All the suffering, the abuse, the trauma could have been avoided if my mother hadn't abandoned me for a man, Noah realizes. Nicholas carries his own wounds. His mother, Annabelle, didn't simply leave. She had been prostituting herself with wealthy neighbors and abandoned Nicholas to protect her secrets. These revelations create uncomfortable parallels between generations. Nicholas's controlling behavior mirrors Noah's father's abuse, while Noah's forgiveness echoes her mother's patterns. Both struggle against becoming their parents while unconsciously repeating their mistakes. Isn't this our greatest fear? That despite our intentions, we might recreate the patterns that wounded us. Through therapy and self-reflection, both begin to understand how their parents' choices shape their relationship patterns. Awareness becomes the first step toward breaking these cycles. When Noah discovers Nicholas kissed his colleague Sophia during a moment of anger, her trust shatters. Similarly, Nicholas feels betrayed when Noah secretly meets with his estranged mother. These incidents reveal how easily trust fractures between wounded individuals. The ultimate betrayal occurs when Noah sleeps with her therapist Michael during their separation. This act, born from confusion rather than malice, becomes their breaking point. "We're done," Nicholas tells her, his face contorted with pain. The scene resonates because we understand both perspectives, Noah's need for comfort and Nicholas's sense of betrayal. What makes this exploration compelling is how it illuminates relationship double standards. Nicholas expects absolute fidelity while allowing himself moments of weakness. He demands transparency while concealing his New York job offer. These contradictions reflect the messy reality of human relationships. The story ultimately asks, is true intimacy possible without complete trust? And is complete trust ever truly possible between deeply wounded people? The illegal street races where Nicholas competes mirror their relationship, thrilling, dangerous, and potentially destructive. When Noah impulsively joins Nicholas during one race, their dynamic is revealed. If he puts himself in danger, I will too. The roaring engines and electric tension parallel the intoxicating rush of their love affair. Both become addicted to this emotional adrenaline, creating a cycle of extremes increasingly difficult to escape. Arguments lead to passionate reconciliations in public places or during rainstorms. Separations end in desperate reunions, midnight calls, appearances at windows, dramatic confrontations at family events. Their conversations swing between tender vulnerability and explosive conflict within moments. This emotional whiplash becomes its own addiction, a pattern neither can break despite recognizing its destructive potential. Like driving at 200 kilometers per hour, the thrill carries constant risk of catastrophic crash. Haven't we all recognized that sometimes the relationships making us feel most alive are precisely those that might destroy us? Despite exploring toxic patterns, the story offers a nuanced perspective on healing. Noah begins therapy for her debilitating fear of darkness, a symbolic representation of her psychological shadows. Though her therapeutic relationship becomes ethically complicated, the process forces her to examine her unhealthy dependence on Nicholas as her emotional light in the darkness. Nicholas shows capacity for growth through his relationship with his 12-year-old sister, Madison. Their interactions, from homework help to defending her against their father's neglect, reveal his capacity for healthy love when not distorted by obsession or control. The novel portrays healing as messy and non-linear, filled with setbacks and relapses. Noah's therapy alternates between breakthroughs and defeats. Nicholas struggles to maintain progress, often reverting to manipulative behaviors despite genuine attempts to change. This realistic approach acknowledges that overcoming trauma is a complex journey of small victories and devastating setbacks. With Nicholas and Noah separated, both face their greatest challenge, generating their own inner light rather than depending on another to illuminate their darkness. The open ending poses a powerful question. Can wounded people truly heal each other, or must they first heal themselves?